And you know, I don't know about you, but I recognize the difference between singing about God and singing to Him. And you know, most of the time, and she's talked about the past, when I grew up, we spent most of our song time talking about Him or talking about some aspect of the kingdom. And a lot of it was good. And yet there's something in our hearts when you're a child of God, when you have a relationship with God, there's something in your heart that leaps up and reaches out to God. And Laverne and I had the privilege last night of going to the local Gideon's banquet that they present every year about this time for all the pastors in the county that come. And so we did that last night, and it was just a tremendous time. And some of the things that one of the brothers shared, just a little bit of a testimony about his life and how a Gideon Bible brought him out of complete, I mean, he was a wild man. And I couldn't help, as he was talking, sharing some of the things. I'm sitting there, and Laverne told me afterward the same thing. And I said, that sounds like Jack Ernest. And because Jack was a pretty rough character until an old fella at the steel mill started talking to him about the Lord. And Jack said, I didn't want him talking to me about the Lord, but, you know, he was an old fellow, and he was a kind man, and I liked him, and so I put up with it. And you know, we started digging into that old hard heart. And every year we're privileged to have a member of the Gideon organization come and to share with us, and then to receive an offering, which we'll be giving at the end of the service. Now, let me say this. Due to some of the things that are going to be happening this morning, if towards our normal time we haven't finished and you have to leave, when you go out, there'll be a container there for you to put an offering in for the Gideons. But right now I'm going to ask the Gideon member that came to share with us today to come forward. His name is Ansel Hale. He's from Liberty, or somewhere in Casey County. Actually, when he told me where he lived, he's not from Liberty. He's from out in Casey County. Not far from where we used to pastor. He knows a lot of the people that were in our churches when we pastored up there in the 1970s. But I'm going to ask him to come and share with us what's on his heart as we are just refreshed, just like I put in the bulletin. And if you didn't get a bulletin, you need to pick one up and read it. Brother Hale, come on. God bless you.
Well, I told him I'm from Liberty. I live 5 miles out of Liberty and got a Houstonsville address, which is in Lincoln County. So I don't know where I'm at. The only thing I know, I live on Upper Brush Creek off 49, and I live within a mile of where I was born at. I told them to tell everybody I was born in a two-room shack built on a hillside, and that's what it was, September the 15th, 1945. Glad to be with you folks today. I might get pretty emotional when I start talking about my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I can't hold back the tears. I'm not proud. When we can't cry for God, we are proud people. But I become a Gideon in 1987 at a new member plant and village restaurant at Liberty, and I went over there just to honor a dinner engagement. And Brother Randy Davenport, many of you probably know him, he was affiliated with the Campbellville University. He was a call person. My pastor had sent my name in. Once there, just honored the Gideon engagement, the dinner. Brother Randy called me and he said, "We would like you to come. We're having a new plan for Gideon's International." Again, to kind of make a few excuses, but if anybody knows Randy Davenport, he don't take no for an answer. He said, "Well, let's put it this way. Your dinner will be paid for by the member of the Casey County Gideons." And he said, "It'll be paid for by them whether you come and eat it or not." I went there with no intention of joining Gideon's International. I went just to honor that dinner engagement. But when J.D. Norris was an orator, the speaker of the Gideon's that day, he was one of the owners of Norris and Slaff's Denver Slaho funeral home. And he began to speak and said what they was doing. God spoke to me that night and told me that I need to be a member of that organization. So I was called into it just like a pastor of a church or any other evangelist, called by God. Well, you've had them to join the Casey County Gideons, and they paid their dues for 1 year, and they didn't renew them. Why didn't they renew them? Because they wasn't called by God. But Gideons International is a non-denominational organization. Denomination don't mean nothing anyway. If you're not saved by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, you're nothing anyway. Denomination and religion don't mean nothing. So, but we're in 200 countries now. When I joined in 1987, we was in 139 countries, and then we got into 140 just right after. It continues to grow. Yes. We place these Bibles in the hotels and motels, in the traffic lanes of life. One of these Bibles is placed in a motel. The lifespan is estimated to be 7 years, and they estimate that it comes in contact with 2,300 people during that time. Thing of it is, in Russia and other places, they don't stay there that long, because we get information from the people in Russia what they're doing over there. They've been taken out. They've got people that comes in and rents a motel room and stays there for a while just to get the word of God. And they take it with them when they leave. I heard the testimony of a man that placed the first Bibles in Russia. And he was a German. He was from Germany. He said he loaded up an old station wagon, an old diesel station wagon. Didn't have no idea where he was going. Headed out across country. Didn't have no visa cards or nothing to get in to the borders. And said when he got to the border, he just prayed. They didn't get across. He placed the Bibles there. That's what this organization is about. spreading the word of God, planting the seed. I was looking for something to kind of, we've got a package of seeds here that it says on it, I'd bought it, said packed for 2009, sell by 2011. I might plant these one of these days. You know the reason why I ain't reaped no cucumbers? Because they've not been planted. And that's the same way with souls of God. If you don't plant the seed there, you're not going to reap a harvest. That there's what we, I got information here. Now this was sent to me from Gideon's International on March the 24th, 2015. There's 29 countries right now. Of course, I'd say some of these orders have been filled. That are requesting Bibles. Now there's 29 countries. There's 13,195,510 Bibles that needs to be placed. This is where y'all come in. I thank God for this church. I've enjoyed the service. I know the Spirit's here. But y'all play a big, important part in getting God's word out. Amen. I think was reading something here not too long ago, and I just kind of wrote it down. Now, where this guy that wrote this got these figures, I don't know. They can't be accurate because only God could report these figures. It says, what he wrote, it says, over 56 million people die worldwide each year. That's 153,425 deaths per day. Over 6,393 per hour. Many of these people will enter in eternity without knowing God in the saving faith. Like I say, these figures can't be accurate. I don't know how he come up with them.
They actually are. They're on the internet not too long ago.
And so
300,000 births a day and over 112,000 deaths a day.
I guess that's where he got it at. I didn't, you know. But, you know, that's what we're facing. Just recently, a couple of weeks ago, we lost a teenager in Casey County. Supposed to graduate from high school this year. Already had his date for the prom. He went home, rode the bus home, and he got on his motorcycle and left. He met a car and he's on the wrong side of the road. Killed him instantly. We don't know when we're going to leave this world. We just recently celebrated Easter, which is our Savior and Lord rose from the dead. Many people don't think he did, but he did. If he hadn't, he died in vain on that cross. He shed that blood for you and I. And I want to share this with you, what is wrote on that Easter Sunday of this year. My friend Mike was 22 years old and was piloting Learjets for a large Texas company before he heard of Jesus' resurrection. That afternoon, he called his father, told his dad, "Did you know Jesus come back from the dead?" His dad assured him that he did, said, "That's old news."
Mike was the son. Mike said, Dad, how was I to know? You never told us. You never took us to church. You never read the Bible to us. Every one of us here today probably has had someone that has invested into our souls telling us about the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'd like to read a verse of Scripture. It's up from Matthew. Most of you can quote it. It's up from Matthew chapter 28. Now again, we're reading it. Verses 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye there, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. He was talking to his disciples there right after he was resurrected, before he was ascended into heaven, giving them instructions what to do. He's still giving us instructions over 2,000 years. The church, the Christian people who he's talking to, get the word out. I'd like to read a testimony to you that was sent to me, and this is what it says. It says, rejected by family and accepted by God. And this is a young man that was 12 years old. He says, when I was 12 years old, I received a New Testament at school. My father beat me for bringing it into the house. He forbid me to read it. Then my family disowned me and stopped providing my basic necessities and resources to go to school. I had to seek mental jobs in order to support myself and get back in school. During this difficult time, I continued to read my New Testament. And 7 years later, I was saved at a crusade. Then a pastor sponsored me to attend Bible college, and today I am a pastor in Monkey Bay, Maui. I continue to pray for the salvation of my family members. That is just one of the returns. Here's another one that was sent to me of a man that was put in prison. He said, consumed by his hate, dying in prison, but God had other plans. God has plans for everybody. This guy's name was Frisco. Frisco was a high-tempered, you know, I don't know. He just stayed mad at the world. And he was in this prison. But a Gideon had a testament, which is our personal worker's testament. We use these in prison, and we do it out proportionally. We pay for these if we do our own personal witnesses, but Gideon's International furnished them if we do a prison ministry. Chris Kerr was enraged, and with two little fists, he jumped to attack. He landed his first blow before the Gideon could even flinch. It followed by another and another. And then the filthy cursing and whatever. If the guards hadn't acted when they did, Frisco might have beaten the Gideon senseless. He was a ticking time bomb. Been that way ever since he's been used. Back in his cell, Frisco was still cursing. He tore off his jacket in a frizz and hurled it across the wall. But as he did, a New Testament fell out of his pocket. Somehow, the Gideon had placed it there at the blows. Remained. So Gideon was the instrument that had the testament, but during that scuffle, God had to put it there. That's my version of it. Frisco was sent 70 years in prison for whatever he'd done, and he should have died there. But God had other plans. During that time, Frisco picked up that testament and started reading it. Frisco gave his life to the Lord. The ending of this story was that, like I said, Frisco should have died in prison. But Frisco was paroled. And today, Frisco is pastoring a church in Sylvania Springs. God has other plans. We just need to sow the seed. Just need to sow the seed. We'll be taking a love offering at the end of the service. If you make a check or whatever, just make it to Gideon's International. 100% of the money that is taken up at church offerings and whatever, it all goes to buy Bibles. Gideon's International has no operating costs. What operating cost these guys, the staff at Nashville, Tennessee, has paid out of our dues. We take nothing for our services. It's all volunteer. Because that's what God expects me to do. I'm going to close with the service. I'm going to read a poem to you that was penned by Wilma Pimmagraph. It's not typed. It's wrote. And it was signed with the same pen. I know the same person wrote it all. It says, "We are not expected to germinate the seed. Jesus said to plant it. This world's in a field in need. God does not expect us to cause the seed to sprout. He just said to plant it and plant it all about. Jesus never told us to make the seed to grow. He just said to plant it. To plant it where we go. God does not expect us to make the seed to bear fruit. Jesus said to plant it and pray that it will root. Jesus does expect us to plant the gospel seed. Plant it. The world's in desperate need. Plant the seed and sow it. Get much seed in the soil. Jesus said to harvest will compensate the soil." The young lady that was give that testimony earlier about her friend that texted her and said she was drinking. Drugs and alcohol is running our young people. I'm going to tell you, back when I was growing up, we didn't have drugs, alcohol. But I'll tell you, what my mom told me. And I've been true to that. I wasn't a Christian then. But we had relatives. I had an uncle that was an alcoholic. She had a first cousin that stayed drunk all the time. One day, she told me, said, "Son, you don't want to wind up with be like your Uncle Bill or like My cousin Orville, don't ever take your first drink, and then you won't have the problem. I can stay here and tell you, won't be long, I'll be 70 years old, and I never took a drink of alcohol in my life. And I was saved when I was 15 years old. Just glad that I could come and share with you a little bit what Giddings International are doing, and y'all playing a big part in it. I guess some of you might know this dollar bill sticking in my Bible. There's a story behind this, and your pastor might know where the church is at. It's Jenny's Chapel's United Methodist Church off of 80 over in southwestern Casey County. Ronnie Bernard went to that church one day as a Gideon speaker. Services was done over with. And he went to get in his car, and he said he seen this elderly lady walking across the parking lot. She had a dollar in her hand. She said, "I don't have any money to give to the organization other than this dollar, but said, I will pray for you. You might not have no money here today to give to the organization. It's not to get into the international organization. It's God's kingdom we're building. Amen. We don't leave God out of it. God is number one. There's over 300,000 Gideons in auxiliary in this organization all over the world. Spreading God's word, placing these Bibles that has been provided with the funds that churches like y'all pay for these scriptures to be printed. And thank you, and God bless you, and I'll turn the services back over to you, Pastor.